Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, here with Benji, as always, for the inaugural Women's 2021 Awards Show. We're going to be going through Best Sprinter, Best Performance Overall, Best GC Rider, Best One Day Rider, all that sort of stuff. As you know, this show is brought to you by our show partner, Lacole, who are also the main sponsor of Drops Lacole team, who you'll have seen the British National Championships actually recently on my main channel. But more on Lacole later. It's late at night, so we're going to do the easy questions first. The easiest question in cycling: who is the best sprinter? Who was the best sprinter? Who was the most successful sprinter? It can only be one name, Benji.
Lorena Wiebes. She's won a lot this year, but slightly less than last year, because I feel like DSM has missed out on a few leadouts for her and catching the breakaway in time so that she could end up winning the sprint. She's also lost a few against the likes of a Norsgaard at certain points. Last year, she lost against Balsamo. So she loses against at least one person a year. So it's not too bad for a sprinter, you know, losing against one person a year. But whenever she's at the front on a flat sprint, relatively flat at least, she's the strongest on paper. And we've seen that most recently in the Ronde van Drenthe in October itself, the 23rd of October, where she did it with an entire lead out of DSM in the front group. I keep thinking about Sunweb still, even though it has been like ages ago. But yeah, that's clear. She's the best sprinter in the world. But the most difficult question for me is, who's next?
I got sent some numbers the other day of a rider who I think is, if Riley get a wild card next year to some bigger races, could be contesting bunch sprints, Olivia Ray. She rides for Riley Kiwi. Crazy numbers, like 1250, 1300 watt peak and like 1,000 watts for 10 seconds. She's been competing in America. But it's hard to know. Yeah, you're right, Benji, because Rivera, is she, you know, bad opportunities? I think Balsamo is properly fast. I think Balsamo's up there and Hosking.
Norsgaard?
No. I don't know. Norsgaard just seemed to struggle to make it to any finish this year. Maybe I'm misremembering that. Like OxyClean, Jesus, the worst name in cycling. OxyClean Classic Brugge de Panne, what a name. Like, she won the bunch sprint for second, but Grace Brown was already up the road. Do I give her credit for that? Jolien, I think what's clear, Benji, is Jolien Dore and Kirsten Wild step back a bit. Yeah. And they were previously sort of two of the three top sprinters. But I think Balsamo is legit. Pure sprinter as well, not just a classic sprinter. And even Voss, like Ken Wevelhem, that's a pure bunch sprint performance, and Voss ruined everybody, so she still got it too. Any other names we're missing out?
Yeah, you started mentioning Hosking in there as well, and I agree that she's one of those names, but we didn't see her for the entire season. I don't remember why she was gone for a while. Was it injury or family related or something? I'm honestly unsure, but in general, she did miss a few months, and as a consequence, not the ideal preparation throughout the year for the race she went to. And then she came back and had that one victory where she basically did a lead out for herself and a sprint for herself against a competition that was also doing a lead out next to her. That was a pretty crazy win, although I just don't remember which race it was. But I think that's basically it when it comes to the sprinting, right? What else can we say about it?
What about Capecchi? You see her more as just a classics rider with a sprint and punch. I mean, she won Le Semin, which that's usually a sprint. It was a sprint. She beat Norsgaard and Hosking. Where did she go? Echen Wevelhem. Second? I don't know. I think Capecchi's also pretty good pure sprinter. She even won the stage at La Vuelta as well, beating that was in a break with Longaborghini. I don't know. I think Capecchi's got to be in my top five as well. But it's clear Wiebes top shelf. She's on a 3-year deal until end of 2024 with DSM. They will be very happy with that, with the opening stage of the Tour de France Femme next year being the Champs-Élysées stage. But now moving on to the more difficult questions. The best time trial rider, slowly increasing in difficulty. Here, I think it's between Van Dijk, Marlon Rosa, Anna van der Breggen, and Annemiek van Vleuten. Which way are you leaning towards?
I was leaning more towards the likes of a Van Dijk and Reuser combination, because those were the main riders at the World Championships ITT. And yes, Van Vleuten was amazing at the hilly time trial at the Olympics. And we know that Van der Breggen was amazing at the, was it mountain time trial at the Giro U23. And also, I think Van Dijk won the one in Healthy Aging Tour, and Anna van der Breggen won another one somewhere. But I think that was also at, wait a second, I'm scrolling through it. I can't find it. She only did the mountain time trial, really, at the Giro U23. So in general, I feel like this year, Anna van der Breggen is not the best one for me.
No.
I'm leaning towards Ellen van Dijk, personally. Although Reuser does have the qualities that she can climb better, I think, than Van Dijk. So that's one benefit there. But Van Dijk obliterated the World Champs IDT.
I know. That's the big one. Like, Van Dijk this year won Healthy Aging Tour ITT, which meant she won the GC, Belgian Tour Prologue, Euros and Worlds. The, I guess, counter to that is, did she even go to Tokyo? She didn't even get put on the plane, I don't think. So whereas Reuser, as Benji said, 10 seconds behind on the World Champs 30K parkour, quite close to actually Annemiek van Vleuten in the TT at the, I think, it really is an uphill hilly TT. She was close to her there. She's came on to it really well in the latter half of the season. And then the Olympics TT, second behind Van Vleuten and ahead of Anna van der Breggen, is really good. But yeah, I'm going with Marlon Royce Benji, actually. Still, I'm sticking with her over Ellen van Dijk just a little bit in terms of pure ability. And she's on SD Works next year. Whether that helps her or not, I'm not entirely sure. Annemiek van Vleuten, though, she's kind of like Roglic in that on a really hilly or rolly parkour, she is the best and was the best this year. So yeah, in terms of like prologue length TTs, I'd like to see Norsgaard keep improving in that aspect. She should still be something she's pretty good at. Vollering's also, didn't Vollering win the Tour of Britain TT? She smashed it, I think.
The women's tour won, right?
Yeah, the women's tour.
Yeah, she did. She did win, and she won quite a lot by a minute 04 on Justin Loudon, and Kirkman was fed on a minute 5. So basically, the entire competition on a minute 04 and more. So that's a strong time trial. And it's something we hadn't seen too much from Vollering before, like a top time trial. Yes, Simak Ladies Tour 6th is not a bad time trial, but that's not on the level of like, I don't know, that's still like beating the riders that she beat at Women's Tour, but not by as much. So the Women's Tour one was more impressive, is what I mean here.
On to now the harder questions. Who is the best GC rider, or was the best GC rider for the year? And it's difficult because Anna van der Breggen announced her retirement. She had the Olympics, obviously, two-thirds of the way through the year, and her season is pretty polarized in terms of really, really on good form, and then kind of half retired but still riding. Like, she had some days where it was very, very clear she was not riding as leader, and she was almost developing the other riders. Like, I'd say Liège and Lacourse, for example, she rode 100% as domestique for Demi Vollering in both those races, but they're not GC races. The GC races she did do was La Vuelta, not in good form. That was after the Olympics, where she wasn't in good form at all. Giro Rosa, she won, winning two stages, but Annemiek wasn't there, I don't think. Their only head-to-head at a GC race was at Vuelta a Burgos, where she absolutely smashed Van Vleuten. Well, I mean, she won by a few seconds. It wasn't smashed, but on Lagunas de Naya, she was way stronger than Van Vleuten, in my opinion. And if there'd been, but maybe if there'd been a TT, could have evened up. I don't know. It's tough because at the end, reading out Van Vleuten's palmares, second at Vuelta Burgos, won Valenciana, won Ladies Tour of Norway in dominant fashion, won Cerathisit Challenge by La Vuelta. So it's a bit of a toss-up for me. I'm actually still going with Van der Breggen, Benji, because she won the only head-to-head.
Honestly, I feel similar. And again, it's very difficult because right now she's basically not a cyclist anymore, Van der Breggen. And at this moment, the best GC rider is Van Vleuten, because she's the only one in contention against Van der Breggen.
Yeah.
And Van der Breggen throughout the year feels like she had that extra more, because her climbing at Burgos was indeed at minimum just as strong than Van Vleuten, better, because she ended up winning that stage, that mountain stage on Lugano Zenaya. And if we look at Van Vleuten then, I think her time trial on the Flatterpark course was not as good. And if we look at the mountain time trial that Van der Breggen did at Giro Rosa, that means her mountain time trial isn't bad either, because I swear she put like, was it 10 people OTL? More, 12 people OTL in a time trial. So it's pretty impressive for a time trial, isn't it? Haven't seen that a lot in recent history. But all that combined also puts Van der Breggen above Van Vleuten for best GC rider during the year, if that is the context of the question we are asking.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And even next year, I mean, Annemiek van Vleuten's recovering from a serious injury at Paris-Roubaix. We have Tour de France femme next year, another World Tour 8-stage race added to the calendar. And in terms of GC riders, you don't maybe think, well, Demi Vollering's a top GC rider, even though maybe she's better known by her one-day prowess, mm-hmm. being La Course and Liège this year, but she won GC at the Women's Tour in convincing fashion. Third of World Tour of Burgos.
Yep.
Very strong on the climb there. Ashley Moulman-Pazio, she's the profile of a GC rider. She's on SD Works. She's a good climber. Elisa Longo-Borghini is actually less so. I think of her more as a one-day racer. So it'll be interesting to see who can come up against Annemiek van Vleuten next year, because SD Works are going to have to figure something out, whether it's Vollering, Moulman-Pazio, both. They're going to have to figure something out, because van Vleuten should be the favorite. But yeah, any other GC prospects, I guess, Benji, like, that you think could develop, like a Niamh Fisher-Black or someone of that ilk?
If you look at Niamh Fisher-Black, I feel like she's gotten better this year, because she's gotten better races than 2020. 2020, she was riding the likes of Gent Wevelgem and not necessarily the Hill Classics at top level. And then we look at this year, and she's given that opportunity and she's gotten better results while being a domestique in those races. So her hilly quality is certainly there. Her climbing quality is certainly there. I don't know from the top of my head how good her time trial is, but I recall it not being outrageously terrible, vaguely, even though I can't remember a result that actually proves that fact. Nonetheless, if her time trial is relatively decent, she can get into a bit of a GC role. But like you said, there's people around, and the question is, are they going to use Reuser in a way like that? Vollering is indeed the one that I think that is the most prominent figure for GC in that team for the coming years, based on that Burgos race, because we thought on Lagunas Zenaya that Vollering would not be making it with the likes of Van Vleuten and Van der Breggen. She was the last rider to be with them both. So that's very strong on there. And then we're looking at, can Nivia Doma do better on the longer climbs in the future?
She does. That's difficult,
huh?
Same with Ludwig. Like, Ludwig is slender, but she hasn't actually been as good on the longer climbs. Like, even in Liège, she struggled on the longer climbs.
Labou? So,
yeah, mate, she's young as well. Big incentive for her to do well.
Tati's good?
Carla Blanca Vas, why not? Why can't she?
She's going to win everything in 5 years.
Exactly. Like, seriously, though, she might just be already a top five GC rider. We wouldn't surprise me too much. Now, best one-day rider in the world. We have a lot more one-day races that are televised and have the same sort of good coverage as compared to GC races. The GC races didn't get as much coverage, so you might be more familiar with the one-day races. But this is clear for me. Clear number one, Marianne Vos, seventh Strade, second Trofeo Alfredo Binder, one Gent Wevelgem, one Amstel Gold Race, 11th Flesh, 6th Liège, 3rd La Course, 5th at the Olympics, won 2 stages at the Giro Rosa, dominant uphill, won 3 stages at Simac Ladies Tour, 2nd Paris-Roubaix, 2nd at the World Champs Road Race, where she should have won if her team didn't sell her out completely. She got sold out by Ellen van Dijk, let's be real. She should have won. Should never have been in a group with Elisa Balsamo. And when you look at the separation she got from everyone else who would have been fine to be there, she should have won, but she should have won easily. So an unlucky season for Marianne Vos, and she's still my best one-day racer in the world, just not have the same level of team support, both at international level. And I'm not, you know, Jumbo Visma developing well. They've got Rivera next year. Anna Henderson was good, but it is no SD Works cakewalk ride for Demi Follering that Anna van der Breggen provided her in Liège and La Course. Do you disagree, Benji?
For me, it's closer than you are portraying my list of, best one-day racer in the female peloton, because I would dare to put Annemiek van Vleuten relatively close. And the reason for that is she also has the ability on both cobble races and on hilly races. I think the one thing that puts her under the successes throughout the year of Vos here for me is the fact that she was not able to show on Paris-Roubaix what Vos was able to show due to the crash, of course, but we don't know where she would have ended. I just don't see her beating Vos on that terrain personally. But if we look at her preseason, first in Dwadis, who is honestly not the most important one there is in the history of mankind. We've got RVV winning. That's a big one.
She's the only person ever to do the double, is she?
Yeah. Second in Liège, fourth in Flesh, third in Amstel. So that's getting very close in the Hill Classics, but not able to achieve that victory because, SD Works was better as a team in a few of these races, certainly. And Vos is there as well. And I think that's why Vos is indeed a tiny bit above Van Vleuten for me overall the season. And then we also look at the likes of Tokyo, where Annemiek van Vleuten was also performing very, very well with that second spot. She would have won if there was communication and if there was team support. What?
I refuse to get any credit for the Olympics road race second. She sold them out. She went on an attack instead of having a team work to bring it the gap back. At 50Ks, held the gap at 5 minutes stable, just sitting there in no woman's land. And then, no, that's not a tick. Scrub it off the board. Second, the medal is being returned. It should go to Marianne Vos.
Okay. I'm going to pretend it's Marianne Vos that got second in the road race and also failed to count the last ride that was up front. And
She knew. She just didn't say anything.
That's not clever, is it? Anyway, Vos is winning for me, but Van Vleuten is not too far behind. That's what my list is like. But then we look at other people, and that's why I find one-day racer difficult to answer, is because you have amazing one-day races that are good at cobble. You've got amazing one-day races that are good at hills. And I think when it comes to the hills, one of the most consistent ones this year was Demi Vollering, who ended up winning Liège. In my opinion, the most important of the three races there, Liège, Flesch, and Amstel. Maybe that's just me thinking in a men's cycling kind of way. How do you see that? Is Liège the most important one?
Trofeo Alfredo Binder's got a lot of history. I think I don't really know, to be honest. I really don't know. I think Liège.
We don't have monuments in women's cycling, so it's difficult to
I don't offhand know the viewership difference between the races. Like, I'd expect Liège to almost have more viewership than La Course. I think there's one rider I've missed out, Benji, who really should be mentioned. Second Strade, first Trofeo Alfredo Binder, fourth Flanders, eighth Amstel, although Amstel, not great tactics, should have been one or two. Third Flesch, third Liège, third Emma Kumina Furaco Women's Elite Classic. Won both the ITT and the Women's Road Race at the National Championships in Italy, then third bronze at the Olympics Road Race, one GP Plouay, second on stage at La Vuelta, I think third at Paris-Roubaix. So Elisa Longo Borghini rarely getting the big win, but extremely consistent on a variety of terrain. And at the World Championships, she rode as a domestique for future teammate Elisa Balsamo next year. So I don't think she's winning that award. But I want to mention her, and I want to pose this question now, Benji. I think Trek will be the strongest – should be the strongest team in one-day races next year.
Do you think that's going to be the case?
Across the year. I think Balsamo is legit.
I also think she's legit, but it's a big thing to say that they're going to be the best team in one-day races, because, I don't know, we've seen Deignan not really in the cobble races except for the last one, which was Paris-Roubaix, which is obviously a big one on the calendar now. But in the preseason, she was not where we expected her to be. And Longoborghini was definitely always there. She was the one for me in that team that performed every single time. But then we look at SD Works, who now brings in Kopecky, Reuser. I think both of those transfers are godlike in one-day race, because Kopecky is that sprinter you can just try and get to the line in the group as well, in the same way that Trek will try and get Balsamo to the finish line. And Reuser can be the Van der Breggen that rides Vollering to the Liège-Bastogne-Liège victory in 2022, for example. So I think it's going to be closer than you think. Or I rate SD Works higher in one-day races.
I don't know. Anna van der Breggen is pretty good.
Of course.
I don't know. I think Trek should be good next year. Maybe Audrey Cordon-Rigaud, Brand. I mean, Brand skipped Roubaix. It's crazy, isn't it, how she skipped it. But I guess cyclocross probably more important for her. Yeah, I just wanted to watch maybe something we talk about in team previews as well, for Trek's women's team preview. But before we get into our best team award of the year, mention our show partner, Lacole, who produced performance cycling apparel, driven and passionate about creating beautiful technical clothing with function and style. At the moment, Lacole have a 250 tempo challenge, which is sort of to encourage people to get out if you're in the Northern Hemisphere while it's getting colder. If you complete more than 250 minutes of activity between the 5th and the 25th of November, you receive a £50 reward for use of Lacole, as well as entry into the draw for £3,000 worth of new season kit. You can check that out at www.lacole.cc in the description. Thanks to Lacole for supporting the podcast. Now, Benji, best team of the year. SD Works have had a stranglehold on this award for a while now. I think Trek would be pushing them for it a little bit. Movistar is just AVV and Norsgaard mostly, and Jumbo-Visma was mostly Marianne Vos as well. I'm going to stick with SD Works, just as the consistently the most dominant team throughout the year.
I think so as well. We spoke a bit already, a tiny bit, about the fact that Van der Breggen is leaving, quite a bit actually, and the fact that she's trying to be replaced, which is going to be a very hard thing to do for the team. And we've spoken about the fact that, yeah, we don't know if that's going to be enough to beat the likes of a Trek next year, but this year I do feel like they did. I feel like every single race during the preseason, we asked ourselves, how are the other teams going to try and strike out the likes of SD Works? Because we had Trek sending a Cordon-Rigaud up the road, Canyon sending Shabby up the road. We had every team trying to send a few riders up the road so that a team has to pace back. And that team was usually SD Works that had to do it with Niefisch or Black a few times in certain preseason races. So we see this pattern that they are the team that competitors even consider the team to beat. And perhaps that's a bit of the benefit of Trek in the coming year then, that people will still see SD Works next year as that canon, which it still might be, but Trek can still live in the shadow of having to send one rider ahead and rest with the others while SD Works has to clean up the mess that they're making up front. So that's one of the aspects I see there. And those are the top two teams. You said it, Van Vleuten and Vos. They're not one women teams. I feel like we would be underrating the people surrounding them, because Rianne Marcus was definitely worth it on Jumbo as well. And I think the likes of Anushka Koster was also pretty decent in preseason races. Just all over, there's a few aspects in those teams that I'm like, okay, that's a rider that is very solid. And if their leader was not there, could still do well in races here. But then we look at Canyon-SRAM and I'm like, that's a team that is actually in between. Because I feel in some races, they perform very highly, but they also miss the whiff of a team like an SD Works and Trek. So that's a team I would put in the middle like that. I feel like we've seen also FDJ with multiple riders this year, Cavalli and Cecilia Trupp-Ludwig, in these one-day races very often in the last few groups or in the last like 30K, still with two riders. But I think next year that might change as well, because They're including the likes of a Grace Brown. We're going to talk about that in the team preview as well coming up in the future. But at least that's my take on the teams right now. When it comes to Sunweb, we haven't spoken about Sunweb riders outside of the sprint train today, have we? Like, are we feeling like Lippert didn't have the perfect preseason?
She didn't have a great year, really. I mean, since the Cadellevans road race victory, which she won when she was like just turned 22, I don't know if she's focusing on the wrong races or if she's trying to be someone she's not. She has a really big punch. We saw that she was strong at the European Continental Championships. But then it's like, well, shouldn't she be doing well at the women's tour profile then? She didn't go well there either. So, yeah, inconsistent results and not being a factor, I don't think, at the front of the race in important races consistently. And she was aggressive at La Course and it kind of cost her, actually. I feel like she could have almost trusted her sprint a bit more. But, yeah, the start of her season wasn't great. And then Rivera was like, had a lot of opportunities wasted once by herself and other times by the team not chasing the breakdown. I think, and I go back to Kenny Shan, I think at least Shabby's someone who should improve next year. She was good and got progressively better throughout the year. I think they shouldn't put her in early breaks anymore. I think she's better than that. But yeah, I think DSM kind of covered up a little bit by Lorena Vibers being really good. And they got Corin Lebecki leaving. She's going to Jumbo Visma next year. So they're losing some results there as well. But yeah, Libet Brabantse-Pauwels, like to see her back there sort of contesting those sort of races in Amstel next year. But yeah, I think SD Works, they just perfect teamwork all the time. Like,
yep.
La Course for Vollering, Liège with Mulman Pascio early, and then Van der Breggen pacing, and then getting Marianne Vos behind and winning the sprint with Vollering. Perfect teamwork. And Chantal Van der Broek Black at Strada Bianca, and then they had Van der Breggen behind. They're just always using their numbers, and the races that sort of didn't work out were more later in the season at Roubaix. But generally, they have to be the strongest team for me, SD Works.
I've got one final question for you.
Oh, yeah?
One final question. If you've got a 30-kilometer cobble section, I don't know if it exists anywhere on the planet. It most likely does somewhere. Just a straight road, no cornering and so forth. Brennauer?
Yeah.
For me, it's Brennauer or Majerus based on what we saw at Roubaix. But I think Brennauer is definitely one of the two there.
Brennauer's beast. And yeah. I like Brennauer for that.
Okay.
Yeah, easy answer for me. Maybe Caravage.
I hope this would be like a heavy discussion of like, I don't know, trying to find out the details between the riders. But you're right.
Who do you think wins the TDF?
Wins the TDF next year?
It has to be Van Vleuten.
Van Vleuten on paper, but I hope that she finds her form again after the injury. It's still a heavy injury and it's going to take a bit to get back from, but she's shown enough character in the past with injuries that she was able to pull through like the Rio one, for example. So I've got the confidence there. I do want to like finish off today with the thought that I think the Tour de France Femmes will do a lot for women's cycling. And I'm looking forward to see that on the big screen, but I'm probably going to watch it on the laptop.
If she's in some of those mountain stages are really hard, she should be taking minutes there, frankly, unless Mulman keeps improving. But yeah, I can't wait to see it. I think the last question, Benji, is most impressive, crazy, best performance for you this year, be it an overall GC performance or an individual one-day race?
I think that the most in, why do you throw it to me first? I was not prepared for this question. Like, let's start off by saying that I think a lot of people would say Anna Kiesenhofer on this question, the best performance of the year. But I personally disagree. I think that performance-wise, it's a wonderful thing to do, winning the race like that. It's crazy. It's something that we don't see often because it doesn't happen on races that are with trade teams and have communication, that kind of storyline, because you have communication. So the Dutch team knows that there's someone ahead. And next to that, on trade teams, you have teams that actually work together instead of the Dutch team not doing so. So there is no situation outside of the Olympics or World Championships where that situation can occur. And as a consequence, I don't dare to say it too loudly because a lot of people aren't going to like it, but she slightly got lucky. And
she did get lucky, yeah. Like, literally, that's a fact.
It's controversial to say because a lot of people see this as the performance of the century, but it's a victory of that people didn't expect. And it was amazing that it allowed new people to join the sport because it was something that just was beyond the odds, for example. But it shouldn't happen in a tactical field that has trade teams and actual communication in races. And that's why that's in no way the best one for me. When it comes to Deignan, that's also one I think a lot of people are going to put up there. And on one end, I get it, because that solo was still crazy. But I do want to take 1 point off, partially because she won mainly due to also the tactical aspect of going early on the first cobble section, knowing that all the others are going to have more trouble going over the cobbles in a pack. That doesn't take away too much from the victory. That's still a wonderful solo, but it's an aspect that it was predictable that the first big rider to go off and get a gap of 2 minutes was going to win if it's with a group behind that and half are crashing at. So
we can't give it to controversial Lizzie Deignan. I'm going to go with Marianne Vos, Hen Fabelhen. It's my the one that stands out to me, where no lead out against pure sprinters. Jumbo-Visma had done a pretty good job, I think, working, and Henderson had worked pretty well. But yeah, Capecchi, Balsamo, Brenau, Bastianelli on the wheel just ruined everyone. And Amstel Gold Race 2, although she nearly outflipped herself when Vollering came through late. So yeah.
I'm going to go for a boring one.
Yeah.
Alan van Dijk, RTT World Championships, because the performance was way better than people were expecting. We were expecting a 1v1 between Reuser and van Dijk, very close throughout the parcours, but she obliterated the field. And that's why I've got that one rated quite high. And perhaps that's a bit of a boring one. Yeah, it can be, but
it was 10 seconds.
Was it 10 seconds in the end?
Yeah.
It felt like a minute.
But their times were very fast, over 50k an hour average for both of them.
Did it come back together in the third part? Because I swear the gap was bigger in the middle.
I'm not sure. I just remember comparing their results and their intermediates to the men's U23 and being like, holy shit, they are hustling.
Jesus.
Those two, they were very, very fast, over 50k an hour average. So, yeah, I'll grant that as well. And I think Reuser, that she hit a purple patch of form. She was in the best form of her life there. So to beat her is incredibly impressive for Ellen van Dijk. But that's our women's award show for the year. Let us know who you think we've missed out, disrespected, who will improve next year. I always like getting bits of tips like the rider on rally, the Kiwi sprinter who we need to watch out for next year, because sometimes, like fast, the talent comes through very, very fast in women's cycling. But thanks for listening, and as always, and we'll see you in the next one. Ciao.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.